But we're going to start in 1 Timothy today and 2 Timothy. As the Lord dropped this message in my heart, I started searching the scriptures for when the Lord commands us to fight. When the Lord commands us to fight. And the Lord drew me to this passage to leap off of this morning in 1 and 2 Timothy, little bits of it. But it's where Paul is commanding Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it'll be 2 Timothy chapter 4, so if you wanted to put your finger in those spots. But as Timothy was a young minister, and Paul was commanding, and Paul was giving him encouragement through these letters. And in these letters, he's telling him what to do and what not to do, what things that he needs to remember and things that he needs to forget. One of the things that Paul told him to do was to fight. And we find this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. He starts out with a very good lesson of contentment, which I could preach a series on contentment, so I'm just going to read the scripture and just know that if you're going to fight, there needs to be a level of contentment in your heart and rest in who God is. Verse 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, and with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Here it is. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Jumping to 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Church, there's some people who they've lost sight of the fight that is at their doorstep every day. There is some who have lost sight of the fight that is at their doorstep every day. And that fight, it's not just the fight against the forces of evil in the world. It's the fight against the forces of evil in your life that want to come and steal your salvation. They want to come and take from you what God has planted inside of you. The enemy doesn't like what God's doing in your life. He doesn't like the fire that's coming to Big Fork, Minnesota. Do I need to sit here and shout at myself here? He doesn't like what's going on in your heart and in your life because it's against his plan and it's for his plan. It's for God's plan in your life, and he doesn't want it to happen. And he's not going to sit idly by and let you walk a good walk of faith without a fight. He's not going to sit by and let you just live for Jesus without any opposition, without anything coming against you. Now, there's some Christians who don't have opposition. I don't want to be one of them. Because if you believe in Jesus but you don't have opposition, that means you're not walking out your faith. Paul tells the New Testament church to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Your salvation isn't just something to be taken and put on a shelf. Your salvation is something to be fought for every day. And if you will engage in the fight, if you will engage to stay grounded in the word, not grounded in the enemy's lies, if you will engage the fight, then God will meet you where you're at, and he will be your strength. He will be... Are you guys awake this morning? Okay. He will be your strength. He will be your everything that you need. Did you hear me? He will be your everything. If you need strength, he will be that. But he's not limited to just being your strength. He's your provider. He's your healer. He's your fill in the blank. What you need. Now listen, what you need is different than what you want. And the enemy will come in and he will try you to get focused on what you want instead of what you need. And that's one of his tactics. And that's why we need to ground ourselves in the word so that we know what we need. Paul says, I have been being poured out as a drink offering to the Lord. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And there's a crown laid up for me because I've stayed true to what my Jesus has asked me to do. The enemy will come and he will try to get you to be focused on what you want instead of what you need. He'll come, he'll sidetrack you. He'll use any means necessary to take you off to the left or to the right. So how do we fight the good fight? How do we do it? How do we do it, Pastor? How do we fight? Well, let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 6. How do we fight? Well, Paul tells the Ephesians about how to fight. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That would be enough right there. If you know how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that's enough right there. Bam. But he goes on. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Right there. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. In order to fight, you have to know your enemy. And one of the things the enemy will do is he will come and he will start making you think that this person over here is your enemy, your coworker, that doesn't like what Jesus is doing in your life, or just gets under your skin. Maybe they don't even try. But the enemy will try to get you to think that they are your enemy. Your enemy will try to get you to think that your boss is your enemy because your boss makes you work on Sunday morning. The enemy will try to get you to think that your friends are somehow turning into your enemies because maybe they told you some truth and it stung a little bit. Did you hear me, church? Proverbs says that a good friend will tell you the truth even though it stings, but your enemy will tell you lies that taste like honey. I don't want lies that taste like I want the truth. I want the truth. But the enemy will use those things that sting, and if we are not careful, we will allow them to be perceived as enemies because of the truth that they bring into our life. And so the devil, he's a sneaky one. And he will try to get you to believe that your family is your enemy. He'll try to get you to believe that your neighbor's your enemy. Any person, if he can get you to be fighting against the people in your life or the people that God wants to bring into your life, then he can counteract what God wants to do in your life. Because as a believer in Jesus, he has called us to be witnesses to this world about who he is. And when you see Jesus walk through this earth, when you read in the Gospels about Jesus, his enemies weren't people. There's times when he spoke very harshly to the Pharisees. But understand, church, the Pharisees were not his enemy. It was what was behind the Pharisees and their religious spirits, the one who brought the religious spirit that was the enemy. He was trying to wake them up and to speak truth into their life, not trying to send them to hell. And the moment that we start viewing people as our enemies is the moment the enemy has made us ineffective believers. Fighting the fight against someone who is not even intended to be our enemy. Our enemy is Satan, the devil, and his forces of darkness. That is the enemy. That's why we as a church are embarking on this Big Fork Area Work Days. Because we are bringing light to this community. We are building this community. And while it's not with preaching, with words, it's showing this community we care. And when they ask, why do you care so much? What is our answer, church? Because Jesus cares for you. Because Jesus cares for you. And so the moment the enemy tries to take our fight to somewhere else, he'll do that, because he doesn't, if we understand that he is our adversary, then he's in trouble because of where we're going in the message this morning. Okay? And so make sure that you identify your enemy. Don't, when you get frustrated at your spouse, is your spouse the enemy? No. Who's the enemy? Satan. Right? Your spouse is not the enemy. Now, you may be frustrated with your spouse, and it may be for a really, really good reason. I never have good reasons, but she does. But it may be, there's one right there. he'll try to cause discord in your marriage, in your family, and the moment that we start viewing our spouse as our enemy is the moment that this thing that God hates creeps into our minds called divorce. I'm not preaching condemnation if you've been through a divorce. There are godly reasons for divorce. There's people who've been divorced before they came to faith. But God is a God of reconciliation. God is a God of reconciliation. And he doesn't like divorce because it causes division. And his kingdom is not a kingdom of division. That's the kingdom of the enemy. And so the moment that you let the enemy have you view your spouse as the enemy, then you're in for a world of hurt, because you're going to attack them instead of bringing the attack where it needs to be. You're going to attack them, your ally, instead of bringing the attack where it needs to be. In that story we heard earlier, if one of Colonel Clark's men had went to the enemy and said, "Hey, there's only 125 guys out there." Game over. Game over. But they were unified. So church, if your marriage is struggling this morning, bring unity. And maybe it's you getting on your knees and apologizing for something that you've never done. Bring unity. That, my friends, is following the example of Christ. He went to the cross for things he never did. And so this morning, if your fight is with your spouse, get on your knees to Jesus and repent, and then call the enemy who he really is, the devil, who is a liar, and bring the fight there instead of bringing the fight to your spouse. Walk humbly with your God. And that means when you come up with an accusation, or your spouse comes, or anybody comes with an accusation against you, search your heart and find out how it's possible that that could have possibly happened. And when the Lord reveals to you what's going on, maybe it's something you didn't know you did, but the Lord can reveal it to your heart and allow you to be able to go and seek forgiveness from that individual, diffusing the fight with your ally. So, back to Ephesians chapter 6. Now we know who our enemy is, the devil. Therefore, verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. What does he start with? Truth. Where do we find truth? Huh? Where do we find truth? So listen, church, if you're not diving into this thing, then you are not grounding yourself in the truth. You have to ground yourself in the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We could keep reading Ephesians 6 and it could just let it preach for me. But you can do that on your own. But taking the shield of faith, church, this is why we need to fight for our faith, for our salvation. Because our salvation is grounded in the faith, and our faith in Jesus Christ and who he is in our life. He, by his power, we become the righteousness of God. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, I alluded to this earlier. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." They didn't love their lives beyond being willing to lay them down for the sake of the kingdom. The accuser of the brethren comes, and what do we need to do? Ground ourselves in the word. Why? Because when the accuser comes, he will accuse you of things that maybe very well you have done. Maybe very well he just plants a thought in your head and then he accuses you of it. But what does the Bible say about us when we have the blood of Jesus in our lives? We become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's nothing that we do. It's what he has done for us. And when we have the blood of Jesus covering over our hearts, the enemy cannot by law accuse you of what has been covered by the blood. This does not give us license to sin. Paul says, grace isn't there so that sin may abound, but grace is there so that we can grow in our faith and not have that accusation come against us and live above the accuser of the brethren. Live above the enemy, above Satan, and walk in righteousness by the power of the blood of Jesus, not by our own strength. So churches, we're fighting this battle against the enemy, the true enemy. We hold on to our salvation. That's the groundwork. If we don't have our salvation, we can't minister to others and bring salvation to them. Because we're living a lie. It says so in 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. 1 John 5, 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Pastor Brian, I don't have this crazy testimony of being saved out of a life of drugs to stick in the face of the enemy. Pastor Brian, I don't have this great healing testimony of, you know what? I don't have those testimonies either. My testimony is that God saved me from that life. My testimony is that by the power of Jesus, I have eternal life through him. That's my testimony. And that's the testimony that we need to bring to the accuser of the brethren. Now, when he starts to question us, we can bring those other testimonies along with it to say, here's more evidence, here's more evidence, here's more evidence, here's more evidence. And if you truly look through your life, you will find more evidence of God working on your behalf, of God calling you, seeking you, longing for you to be one of his children. Longing for you to be one of his children, not just sitting by and saying, I hope they get it one day. He's seeking you. He's seeking you. He's wanting you to come to salvation if you haven't already done so. If you've come to salvation, he's wanting you to go to that next level, to go to that next level, to go to that next level. We hear about the book of Acts. We hear about the evangelists. I was just able... Michigan Outpouring, evangelist Nathan Morris was there. And the testimonies that he has about blind eyes being opened, It's incredible. But it's because he spends time with the Savior. It's because he's grounded in his salvation. It's because he knows who his God is, and he believes the word of God. And he's allowed God to take him from one level to the next, to the next, to the next, and go deeper in the presence of God. And it's not that he's some special person God's got a plan for his life, but he's got a plan for your life, and he wants to take you deeper. He wants to take you to the next level. God is not a respecter of persons, Scripture says, but he wants you to go deeper. A lot of times when you say, God, why aren't I at that level that they're at? A lot of times it's because we're sitting there looking at them and saying, oh, I wish I could be like that, instead of saying, I want to be like that. What did they do? Oh, they're on their knees, so I'm getting on my knees. Instead of doing what they're doing, we look at them with envy. That's another way the enemy gets us off track. We just wish for it without putting in the time, the effort, the training that needs to take place. Because let me tell you, when a soldier goes to fight, he doesn't just go up and say, all right, I'm ready to fight. If you put a boxer in a ring with one of the heavyweights, and that boxer hasn't trained, if I go into a ring with one of the heavyweights, I'm done. I'm just going to wave the towel. I'm not even going to lift my... I'm good. I don't need a broken nose. I don't need a concussion. I don't need any of that stuff. I'm good. I'm done. Because I haven't trained for that. So when you're fighting for your salvation, that is your training. When you're fighting for your salvation, you will be taught how to fight for others. You'll be taught how to be on the same side as the other believers. When you've gone through marital difficulties and you see somebody else going through marital difficulties, you're going to know how to pray against the work of the enemy in their life. You're going to know how to come against him and how to help keep him away from them so that they can get grounded in their faith, so that they can understand who Jesus is for them, and you're going to be able to encourage them as the body of Christ in that way. And so don't get so caught up in thinking, oh, I wish I... No, God's given us each a plan. God's given us each... He's created us for a specific purpose, and we all work together as the body. We're not identical parts of the body. And so don't get caught up in that lie of the enemy that you have to be everything that they are. No, God's created you to be everything he's called you to be. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 11. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you. Like, it's not just a, how can I trip them up today? Maybe I'll just stick my foot out as they're walking by. No, he prowls around. He's in the seat. Like, how does a lion prowl for his prey? Right? He doesn't just waltz right up to him in broad daylight. He prowls. He's hiding in the tall grass while the gazelles are out snacking. He's in the edge of the woods watching, waiting for a time to pounce. And we need to be on our guard against the false lion. Just a really quick side note. I saw the enemy will present false identities of Christ. So Jesus is, as we sang about earlier, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And Peter says here, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so sometimes the lion's just going to sneak up beside you and pretend to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. And if you're not grounded in the word, you're not going to realize it until it's too late. You have to be grounded in the word to know what God's word says. But listen to this. Listen, it says he's called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, and the God of all grace, after you have what? Do you remember from what I just read? After you have frolicked around in the lilies? After you have just had a fun day at the water park. After you have, let me hear you, church, suffered. After you have suffered a while. When we suffer, there's growth. Like when you're training for the fight, there's suffering that has to happen so that your muscles can grow. You have to get them stronger. You have to make them faster. And you do things and you get tired out. You get tired out, Jacques. I don't know, you were pretty tuckered out last night after a day of suffering. Yeah. You wanted to just, yeah, you almost laid down on our couch and you didn't even make it upstairs last night. I mean, you almost just conked over, man. But we were tired. We were tired after yesterday. Why? Because we were training. Because we were training, there was that suffering that happened. We could have gotten tired and said, you know what, we're going to close down early. I could have got tired and said, you know what, I committed to go over and help line up the parade, but I'm going to not because I'm tired and I'm hot and the sun's out and it would be really nice to go sit in air conditioning somewhere. I could have done that. But I didn't. And listen, there's a clipboard here that needs to be filled out. But Pastor, I'm tired. You know what? There's seasons of being tired. I've been working on this thing for months now. I can't do it by myself. Trina and Diane can't cook all the food by themselves. So if you signed up, thank you so much. But we need more help because there's still empty blanks on there. And so we're going to pass it around again next week if there's still empty blanks after today. But Pastor, I'm tired. If you're never tired as a child of God, then maybe you should be training. Maybe you should start some training. If you get to the point where you're never tired from training, then you're going to get to the point where you're tired from being too lazy. You ever experienced that? I know I've been there where, oh, I have to climb the stairs to put my kids to bed. And I get winded just by going up the stairs because of the lack of training, you just get tired way more easy. So I understand. There's life that's happening here. There's life that's happening. There's also the kingdom of God that's trying to invade our lives. And so stay healthy physically, but there's going to be times of exerting yourself so that in the future you can exert yourself more and not be overcome by it because it's training. And sometimes we don't see these physical things that we do for the kingdom of God as spiritual training. But Peter says, after you have suffered a while, many of us don't want to suffer, but we want to experience the results of the suffering that we're supposed to experience. After you have suffered a while, the God of all grace will perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Does anybody in here want to be perfected? Anybody? Anybody in here want to be established? Anybody want to be strengthened? And anybody want to be settled? You know, the peace of God that transcends all understanding, that thing. Anybody want that? Anybody? I know I do. How do I get that? How do I get that, church? Sometimes I'm going to have to suffer with Jesus and do things that he's asked me to do that I don't really want to do. I'm going to get a little personal for just a minute. But when God called us to be rural pastors, that wasn't top on our priority. That wasn't top on our priority, church. We were kids pastors. That's where our vision was. But God said, I want you to be a rural pastor. And I want you to be a rural pastor, not just a rural pastor, but I want you to go to Big Fork, to a church that needs some encouragement. That wasn't at the top of our personal priority list. All through that time, there were prayers going up saying, Lord, we will go there if you want us to go there, but if there's somewhere else that you want us to go, please let us know. Okay? And I'm not trying to say we didn't want to come here. We wanted to follow the Lord where he was leading us. And God led us here, where we lived in a church for 10 months. Where we're making it financially, but it's not this big, huge, hey, we're driving the nicest cars. You've seen my truck. It's sitting in the garage. And so there's suffering that happens in the kingdom of God, but it's not for our detriment. It's for our benefit. And the enemy will take the suffering that's happening in the kingdom of God, and he will try to discourage you. He'll try to tear you down. He'll try to get you to give up prematurely. Preacher that I listened to recently said, the Lord will take you through the wilderness, and there's tests through the wilderness. There's tests through the wilderness. And too often, it comes to that final test, and we give up. And so we don't go into the promise of God. The Israelites had their tests, had to be tested twice, and they suffered even more because they failed the first one when they were going into the promised land. You remember? There were 12 spies. Two came, Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. Then the next time they went, well, same landscape, same thing. And Joshua said, "Lord," encountered the Lord, and the Lord said, go for a walk for a week, and then shout, and you'll win. And then he had to go convince his leaders that this is what we're going to do. We're not going to go up with swords. We're going to go up in the strength of the Lord and stand firm in what he's called us to, and we will come out victorious. See, this is where the gospel gets tricky, because we have to accept what God says and not what our natural minds say. Because God's fighting plan doesn't always make sense. Getting on your knees doesn't always make sense. But I tell you, church, I find that when I'm in a time where I am just tuckered out, where I am just ready to just go leave for a week and just go on vacation, like, don't get me wrong, there's times where that's needed, but there's times when I don't have that time to give, where I find strength is on my knees. When my natural body, my natural mind says, go get the stuff done that has to be done, and then you'll have a break. But Jesus says, go to your knees, and I will give you the strength to get done what needs to get done. Pray. Now, just to be honest, normally when I pray, I'm not on my knees. I'm pacing back and forth. It's metaphorical, you know. So, but it's that idea of getting, praying, seeking after God's face, and helping him, and letting him help you with how the battle needs to be fought. Because we don't understand the things that he understands. Back to 1 John chapter 5, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten by him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Ready for this? Our faith. Church, we have to be fighting for our faith. Every day, we have to be fighting for our faith. We have to be fighting against the enemy. Even this weekend, I had to be fighting against the enemy. He wanted to bring division in my heart against the kingdom of God and other churches in our area. And I had to fight against it. It's a constant battle, my faith. Your faith is a constant battle. And if you will engage the fight, he will be your strength. But if you don't engage the fight, then you're not relying on him for your strength. And so he can't be your strength, even though he wants to be. I said that way on purpose. Because he's not just going to remove his strength from you. That's not who he is. That's not how he operates. When you're relying on him, he says, I will be your strength. I will be the one who carries you through. when you rely on me. But we can't give a false, God, I'm relying on you, and then turn and rely on our own efforts. We can't say, God, I'm relying on you, and then make life decisions without seeking God on our knees for what decision we ought to make. Even little life decisions. God's not so big that he doesn't care about the details of our lives. When you're making a decision on whether to buy that new thing that you've been wanting or whether you found a good deal on it, seek the face of the Lord. Say, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? Give me wisdom. Give me direction. Because he is all-wise and all-knowing. And if you had a physical friend who was all-wise and all-knowing, wouldn't you ask them before you make decisions? And so, since we have the all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful God, Matthew 12 says, who can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. When we want to take what the territory that the enemy has stolen, when we want to take the territory that the enemy has come in and creeped in and people have really handed over to him, he doesn't have the power to steal it, but we have the power to hand over to him. He doesn't have authority unless we give it to him. But by the blood of Jesus, we have the authority to take it back. By the blood of Jesus, we have the authority to take it back. And so, church, in your life, you need to fight for your faith. But there's areas of your life this morning where you may have given authority over to the enemy. Where you may have decided that, you know what, I'm just going to stop fighting in this area. Or maybe just without even realizing it. And you have the authority as a child of God to take back what the enemy has stolen. Will you fight? Because the enemy has stolen things in this town. He's stolen souls in this town that need Jesus. He's taken and he's running rampant with drugs and alcohol, with pornography, with incest. He's running rampant through our society, through our community. But the fight doesn't start there, it starts here. And we have to make sure that in our lives we're fighting for our faith so that we can fight for our community. If we try to fight for our community before we fight for ourselves, we're going to let the enemy creep in and we're going to be caught unaware. But church, if you will engage the fight, he will meet you in the fight. He will be there alongside of you. He will go before you. And he will take up the rear guard. When you fight with him, when you fight for your salvation, you stand firm, knowing that you are a child of God and that the enemy is powerless against he who lives in you. You stand firm. That doesn't mean you go out swinging. What does stand firm mean? Stand firm means you brace yourself. You take up the armor of God. You make sure that your shield of faith is intact, because with it you can extinguish, not just block, you can extinguish the attacks of the enemy. Stand with me if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Jesus, we ask for forgiveness for the areas of our life that we have let the enemy run rampant, for the areas of our life that we have let go over to the enemy. And Lord, we stand today and we take them back by the power of the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command you, devil, to get out of here. I command you to leave God's children alone. Child of God, you have the authority to stand firm. You have the authority to stand firm in the power of His might. And while the enemy circles around you, he cannot touch you as long as you're standing under the strength of God, not your own strength. Because when you stand under His strength, under the blood of Jesus, you become His righteousness. You take His righteousness on yourself, becoming pure and spotless, white as snow. So you have the authority in the name of Jesus to stand firm. But church, as I preached a couple weeks ago, God doesn't want us to just stay there. That's fantastic, but He's given us another helper. At the end of that passage in Ephesians 6, Paul says, praying, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's a reason why we're a Pentecostal church. Because there is power. There's a power and an anointing that God wants to place on your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you're a child of God, God wants you to go deeper. God wants you to go deeper. He wants you to go deeper. And there's some of you who you're going deeper needs to be embracing the Holy Spirit and His work in your life. Because with the Holy Spirit, you're gonna, what does it say in Acts? It says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. God doesn't want a weak army. He wants a powerful army. So church, this week, as you're in your prayer times, even today, when I open the altars, if you need the power of the Holy Spirit, what the power of the Holy Spirit is going to do, he's gonna help you understand the schemes of the enemy. He's going to help you to know and to stand firm in Scripture and in what God's Word says. He's going to empower you to be His witness in this world that is lost and dying. And that's going to look different for each and every one of us. But this morning, if you're in this place and you'd say, Pastor Brian, I need the blood of Jesus over my life. I've been living my life, and I haven't given my life over to Jesus. I haven't accepted His grace, His forgiveness for my life. Scripture teaches us that it's a free gift of salvation. It's a free gift. There's nothing that you have to do. You believe in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, and He will cover your life by the power of His blood and forgive you of your sins so that you may have eternal life. So if you're in this place today and that's you and you want to make that decision, in just a moment I'm going to open these altars and I want you to come and bow your knee to Jesus and say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. But then, children of God, in this place, I'm going to ask you to engage the fight. I'm going to ask you to engage the fight. And when I open up these altars, if you'll engage the fight, I want you to move out of your chair and come to these altars. If you'll engage the fight, if you'll say, I'm going to fight every day. I know that there's people in here who you have been fighting every day. I'm speaking to you to renew the fight. And I know there's not enough room down here for everybody. But if you will engage a fight, if you will come, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and fill this place once again. Lord, take us to a deeper level with you. If you will engage the fight, if you need to accept Jesus as your Savior,